coming at you live from the heart of downtown Lincoln. This is Old School with Foreman and Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman is sponsored by Graham Tire Company of Lincoln, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Here's Troy Dettmer dropping straight back in the pocket. Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score. Foreman got it, and it's touchdown Huskers.
Blackshirts, answer the call one more time.
And Austin Orman. Hour one of Old School is sponsored by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Yes, it is. It is Old School on a Wednesday. Happy Hump Day. Welcome to the show. Austin Orman here. Jay Foreman there with you for the next 3 hours to take you up till 6 o'clock. 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of the show. Should be a busy one. We will roll through it today, and you can roll through your drive wherever it is you want to go, thanks to Graham Tire Company. They're celebrating 75 years of serving the Midwest. More than just tires, they do all kinds of car and light truck repairs, too. From brakes to oil changes, trust Graham Tire for service you can count on. Graham Tire getting you to the places that matter most. Jay, the place that matters most to DeMond Williams Jr. right now is not the University of Washington.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, you know, I know Coach Jed pretty well, and it's just part of the game right now. You know, you just never know. Obviously, all signs are pointing towards him going to LSU. Probably had a pretty sweet deal at University of Washington, and it seems like LSU, supposedly what everybody's saying, that they're up $5 or $6 million. So it's extra, you know, if he was at four at Washington, he's at six. I mean, you can't blame him. Everybody's screaming loyalty and all this other stuff. That doesn't happen. I mean, there's coaches that do that all the time. Coaches assign an extension and then go to a bigger, better situation or college. That's part of the business right now. There's no regulation. And, you know, should another coach call like another guy that's already signed, sealed, and delivered, I'd like to think that they had some honor among Steve, but obviously there's not.
There's a lot to get into just from those first, you know, few sentences you said. Number one, it's just part of the game. But is it? But should it be? I mean, whether
it
or not
shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
There's no way it should be like this right now. It's the supposed adult's fault from decades and was in quarter centuries or whatever. I mean, it's been, they should have been paying players even back before I even played something. A stipend or extra stipend, and all
3 years before Jay Foreman started playing college football, they just started playing.
They should have been doing it back in like this 80s or something when it started to kind of blow up. They chose not to, and then you get there and it's a free for all. There's rules to be made. They didn't have the infrastructure for it, and there's no way you're trying. I get it. You want it to be like the NFL free agency and all that, right? That's great. There's no union. There's no collective. The universities don't want that type of obligation, right?
No.
I mean, there's lawsuits with the universities now with volunteer coaches that should have been paid. That's out there. They don't want to carry 125 guys on insurance, or at least 100. So unless they decide to say, okay, this is a 2 year cap, and you're gonna have a rookie cap, you know, and you might have it by position. The most you can play a quarterback, just say. The most you can pay a quarterback, no matter who he is $400,000, period, right? And then have a high end and low end, and then you just build your roster off of that. And then after, then potentially you could sign him through. It's kind of like when I got drafted, I was on my rookie deal. Then you had a tender deal, not the one that people think is called a tender. It's kind of like in the what do they do in baseball, Austin? What they do the arbitration.
Right. Yeah.
So it's all based on your tender or your tenure, your output as far as production, and what year you are in the league. Mm-hmm. And that's what we went to in my fourth year. So you could either get a new contract, play on that tender, and then obviously you'd be a straight up free agent after that.
Yeah.
So if they can kind of maybe get that into the college, it'll be a little bit more slow motion. But you got guys out there, you got a thing, Lane Kiffin right now. He struck out on Trinidad Chambliss, right? That's without a doubt. Obviously, that's just out there. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, why did Ole Miss want you gone? It wasn't because they didn't want you to coach. They just wanted your ethics gone.
Yeah.
Because you have none, right? Or displayed into their mind, you have none.
Questionable at best.
Well, you tried to recruit Kwon Lacy. You tried to recruit Chambliss. And so that then you had a plethora of quarterbacks in there. I mean, every quarterback possible out there except for Dylan.
Yeah.
Has been down there.
I mean, you're sitting with Sam Levitt at the basketball game when this news about Demond Williams breaks yesterday.
Right. So essentially, I wonder what happened. I wonder what Sam Levitt is doing.
He's visiting Tennessee is what he's doing right now.
Okay. That's fine. But you're the number one prospect at quarterback coming into the portal season.
Mm-hmm.
You should have had your deal done. Now, I think your agent could be overshooting the runway and thinking, like, we can keep driving the market up. Nothing set in stone. What's going to happen at LSU with Williams and or Levitt? If you go to Tennessee, dude, you got to make a decision. Like, at some point in time, you got to go somewhere and play quarterback.
Yeah.
It's a very quarterback-friendly system. You probably can dictate and not dictate, but yeah, you can dictate about what you're going to do offensively, but they still have old buddy that came over there from UCLA back.
So yeah, Joey Aguilar.
Yeah, you got to worry about that. And then Alabama has the opening now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily know. When I look at Simpson, he's probably a little bit, I mean, do you agree he's probably a little bit more mobile than Dylan?
Oh, yeah, okay. Without a doubt.
Yeah, because he was a good basketball player. Yeah. He was a really good mm-hmm. athlete. But Dylan was a great baseball player, but basketball kind of,
yeah,
you know. So you think, okay, well, if I'm Dylan, it's still Oregon, Miami. I'm definitely going to call down the – if Sam Levitt's at Tennessee, I'm calling Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And Bama. But at some point, that you got to make a decision here. So we're at January 7th or 8th.
Yeah.
Is it right?
Yeah. It's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern time. It's basically Thursday.
Bro, classes start next week?
Something like that. Yeah.
What are you waiting on?
Especially if you're the number one guy. You can only drive your market so far before people say, okay, he's just playing us. He's not worth the call.
And he'll get somewhere. I mean, maybe Tennessee is a place to be. But I just wonder how is it? I mean, because don't think that he won't call up to Oregon.
Right.
So these musical chairs, man, sometimes you could just be sitting and waiting. You just need to, I mean, I wonder what's the hold up with Dylan. Cause I don't know if he's been anywhere.
Well, it's gotta be either Oregon or Miami's the hold up at this point, right? Waiting for their season to be done.
Okay.
Well, and they ask him to hold off on announcing.
Why would you? I mean, Indiana signed their portal classes like in.
I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with an explanation.
Yeah,
I'm just talking in the air.
Yeah. I'm not talking to you. I'm just saying, why would you care, right? Yeah. And maybe, okay, the game's Thursday. You know, Miami plays tomorrow.
Yeah.
But see, Miami and Oregon are in two different places. Carson Beck has no more eligibility left. Mm-hmm. Dante Moore still has a decision to make.
Mm-hmm. What are the odds that decision's been made but not announced?
I'd like to think with a prospect like Dante Moore, knowing that Simpson went out, knowing that you're the surefire number two, and you probably, when he interviews and you really look how he throws the ball and the ability to run, I could see him going ahead of Mendoza,
mm-hmm.
straight up.
Yeah.
And there's nothing against Mendoza. When you look at production and you look against like opponents, you start to teeter towards
Dante Moore.
So you're going top
five at the worst.
Top six.
Sure.
I mean, Raiders.
Jets.
I'm sure who.
Titans are clear.
Cleveland. Is Cleveland up there?
It's Cleveland, of course.
Right. Arizona. There's teams that'll trade up for you.
Yeah, Giants, Arizona's going to be Giants, down Kyler, probably. Yeah. So, yeah, you have the first 18 picks being set. Vegas. The Jets, the Cardinals, Titans, the Giants, and the Browns at number six.
Okay, so there's five teams.
So 1, 2, 3, 6.
Well, hold on. So number one, they needed Jets and the Raiders.
Yep. Arizona, if they move from Kyler.
That's most likely.
And Tennessee's,
and they can draft the quarterback even if they're going to keep Kyler him. For a year.
Sure. So Tennessee's got Cam Ward. They're good.
That's good.
Giants have Jackson Dart. Probably good.
Probably. But that slot is ripened for when we get past number six.
Someone's trading.
So
up.
Cleveland for sure. Yeah. Okay. Because they're going to have a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to want to, you know, whether he's going to want it to come in and battle with Shador or whoever.
Yeah.
So who's after that?
Washington is at number seven.
Nope.
They're set. New Orleans at number eight.
They're set. They just said they're set.
I doubt the Chiefs would take a quarterback at number nine.
They don't need one. They need everything else. Yeah.
Bengals at 10.
No. But Dolph- that's a tricky situation.
Sneaky.
Cryptic messages by Joe Shiesty. He's looking to get out of there.
Miami at 11.
For sure.
Okay. Sneaky trade up to number five team or number six team?
Is dependent on who's the coach.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Mm-hmm. What the contract situation is with Tua, and how bad or how much does the coach, how much is the deal that the coach comes there that he'll coach Tua for a year, but I'm going to draft somebody. Mm-hmm. So that's when you draft a Simpson.
Yeah.
Is a starter in waiting.
Here's a spot for him. I mean, Dallas is set with Dak at this point. Number 13, the Rams.
Yeah, with Stafford.
Toward the end of the line in two first and 26.
Yeah, and Dak, but they don't think they have they probably need to address some other things. And who's after that?
After the Rams, it's the Ravens, who made their choice. We'll talk about that coming up at 4. Tampa at 15.
No.
Sneaky right. sit guy for Simpson.
Yeah, but that'd be, I mean, with the way the Tampa's played, it's probably not.
Yeah, then Detroit and Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I'm sneak.
Yeah, Minnesota. If I'm Minnesota, I'm trading J.J. McCarthy a draft pick, and I'm getting up there where the guy that I'd actually want. Mm. I've seen enough. Now you got to bring Justin Jefferson. I think J.J.
be pretty cold-blooded for a guy like O'Connell to say, you know, organizations fail young quarterbacks long before young quarterbacks fail organizations to cut ties like that. That'd be cutthroat from a guy that's on record as saying that.
Yeah, when you got that record that he got, brother, you do about face sometimes. I do. I mean, I think J.J. McCarthy could be good. I don't think he was as good as where they drafted him. So you overextended yourself. Now, what do you do? Now, if you want J.J. McCarthy to be in your franchise and you're the head coach, then you're going to have to sign somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you take a one-year flyer and make a trade for a Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
You guys battle out, you'll learn, and then you're still right on your pace for a free agency and get a big deal because that'd be your fourth year. Because you don't want, because that's how you get fired when you're a GM. And we saw that with obviously Raheem Morris and them is like when you make that wrong move at quarterback,
mm-hmm.
you're tied to him. You're not yep. like Chris Ballard where you're constantly just being, I mean, whatever he has on whoever's at the powers that be. No bit. But now let's get back on task. Now, back on task to this with Williams. You know, Washington is trying to fight it. I saw where Washington might be trying to get the quarterback from Arizona.
Fafita.
Yeah, who played for Jed. But Jed had obviously recruited Williams.
So I didn't know this till reading about it today. Lane Kiffin actually had DeMond Williams' commitment before Williams decommitted, went to Arizona mm-hmm. with Jed Fish and then followed him up to Washington. Yeah, so that's where the LSU connects.
Yeah, so there is a longer history there, and that's what happens when you recruit these. Look, when you recruit these quarterbacks, if you miss out on the first time, chances are you're going to get a phone call with them and their agent the second and third time.
Yeah.
And so very rarely does a quarterback stay at one place for 4 or 5 years or for 4 years.
Yeah. Doesn't happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be, I mean, but, you know, when you think about Dylan.
Someone asked if he would go to LSU. I don't think it fits.
It could fit.
With what Lane's been doing?
Well, think about what Lane did at Alabama. AJ McCarron and all them.
When was Lane out? Who were Lane's quarterback?
Blake Sims, who's more like Chambliss, but it's still Blake Sims threw the ball, right? It was Blake Sims?
I'm trying to look this up because so Lane was at Alabama from 2014 to 2016.
So it was Blake Sims, right?
That's what I'm trying to figure out here. I thought Lane's guys at Alabama were more mobile. Certainly, he's leaned that way
so Blake since he Sims left.
Okay, so 2014, Alabama lost in the Sugar Bowl. It was Blake Sims and Jake Coker. 2015 is when...
There's two opposite quarterbacks there.
Yeah, then it was Jake Coker. Yeah. And then 2016, Lane's last year at Alabama, it was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So, okay, I guess it could work.
It could work. I mean, I think Lane's a good enough play caller. It could work. I think he would probably do some good for Dylan. I mean, because he coaches him hard, and he would, you know, Dylan would need that, you know. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you're playing at LSU. You're not going to be doing much scrambling.
No.
I mean, maybe he's – I mean, I'm assuming just – I mean, you know, just knowing Dom and just, you know, I'm sure they got something on the hook already and just kind of just waiting, and they need to wait to – I mean, heck, the linebacker Fries from that he had to wait for his Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, saw that where they wanted you to wait, and obviously with the coaching staff. So, I mean, maybe they want to do that, and I guess, you know, say he decides to go to one of those schools, you don't want to be a distraction for the game, and I do understand that. So that's where it probably aligns up with. But that Sam Leavitt can be sneaky, though.
Lane Kiffin throwing a wrench into everything yet again. He's good at that. Congratulations to him for that. We'll see what actually happens with DeMond Williams Jr. Because, Jay, I think that if this goes the way I would guess the general college football populace wants it to go, is that Washington wins this fight, right? That because he signed the deal, Washington is not obligated to enter his name into the transfer portal. They seem like they're not going to do that. They're obviously fighting it in some similar ways. They think they have more of a leg to stand on compared to, say, you know, Wisconsin, when that Xavier Lucas guy transferred from Wisconsin to Miami after signing his 2-year deal. But then, Jay, I could see this going, you know, one of two ways for Washington. Either he realizes, DeMond Williams Jr., that is, that he made a mistake. Oh, shoot, my bad. I was chasing money. Nope, my heart's with you guys, and I'm going to ball out, right? I wasn't grateful for what I had. I am now. My eyes have been opened, and that's that, if he's not allowed to transfer. The other option is we get our first major college football holdout, right? And this is where the main difference between the... Just hear me out.
I can hear you out, but I was like, DeMond, you can't do that.
I know, but he has options, which I'll get to. So that's a big difference, too, between college and the NFL, is that in the NFL, you'll take your time, weigh your options, sign your contract, and then you're good. You're not getting poached. You're getting traded. You got to hope you get cut or whatever, right? In the NBA, you got to hope you get traded. You sign the deal, honor it, play it out, so be it. But let's say that Washington continues to block DeMond Williams Jr.'s transfer. The NCAA allows them to block the transfer because Washington can prove that, you know, there are legitimate damages there. Well, let's just say that happens. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're DeMond Williams, number one, you stay on the team, and you hold out like, hey, I'm clearly the best option you have. Are you going to give in and pay me or play me because I'm still here? Or number two, you don't have to wait for coach to cut you. You can unenroll.
Okay.
But then the question becomes, what kind of contract did you sign? Washington says it's a very, very standard Big Ten style contract, and that's still up in the air whether or not he signed his, you know, NIL licensing over to the University of Washington by signing this contract. Because if that's the case, then LSU wouldn't be able to find a way to pay for it. They have to get really creative. But if he just signed a general contract without that NIL sort of agreement to it, okay, well, his name, image, likeness are out there, so he can be out there.
Right.
I mean, if you're Washington, is it worth keeping this young man on the team if he's going to throw a fit? Is it worth wasting a roster spot? I mean, how much money did you pay him up front versus, you know, coming later? I can understand where Washington would just, you know, want to cut their losses and say, we can't deal with this. This is a distraction. We can't have this. It's going to look like you won, but it's going to be better for us if we just let you go. Or is it worth it for Washington to be the team that makes a stink, that takes a stand and says, no, you signed your contract. You know, you have to play, or even you have to at least be on the team. If you're going to be a pain in our butt, we don't have to play you, even if you're our most talented guy, and that's going to hurt. I just don't know if this is a holdout situation, how that would go for either side.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, one, you want to stand your ground because, you know, you don't want to be the one that gets, like, on the flip side, you don't want to be the one that is the benchmark for, you know, universities and football programs to get, I wouldn't say bullied, but get generally just on Front Street getting taken advantage of. Okay, I got you. you know, mm-hmm. I'm signed, sealed, and delivered, but then now I'm going to take what I have in a true agreement to somebody else or be open for business.
Yeah.
But then you're like, okay, well, do you want a guy on your team that would flip on you that quick at such a crucial position?
Right.
Which is quarterback. And then if it gets into a legal battle, okay, do you want to be known as that university to do that or football program to do that? It's tricky. I think if you gave him some upfront money, like a signing bonus, okay, mm-hmm. he has to return that. That should be, you have to return that back for 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think if there was, and there should be some sort of like fee, like a transfer fee mm-hmm. when you have a contract signed.
Yeah.
Right. And so you broke the contract. It's like if you put like earnest money down on a house, mm-hmm. right? You lose that.
Yeah.
Right. And so, or whatever it would be, and then just be done with it. But then the only way that you can save face and it'd be okay is that actually the people that are decision makers come together and think about these scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I think if there is some sort of commissioner, that's where that commissioner would be dealing directly with Lane Kiffin or whoever, because it's not Washington's problem because you couldn't sign a quarterback.
Exactly.
Right.
But you made it our problem.
But doesn't mean that you get to go pluck somebody else's. There has to be some sort of lines there. And right now you can't fault Lane because there's no line that he can't cross because there are no rules. He's mm-hmm. actually, and here's what I'll say right now. You know, like there's an old thing, like the old saying in sports, you know, you want to do the right thing and all that, right? By doing it, right? And you know, you want to in this negotiate, be above board, not pay underneath the table. Well, listen, you don't get an award for that.
No.
You just get patted on the back, but you get your butt kicked when you're out there in the real world. That's the honest to God truth. So you got to play a little. There's an old saying, you don't want to get in a pissing match with a skunk, but sometimes you got to come with enough tomato juice that it's not going to stick on you that much. That's old school.
Like, I
get the point with tomato juice. You got to get in there. And, you know, look, man, I mean, Lane is doing things because he knows any publicity for him, bad or good, is good for LSU. He's tagging, retweeting everything with Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting paid
by LSU for what Ole Miss is doing.
You can't tell him nothing. He's stealing grocery carts. He's doing whatever he wants
and supposedly returning them. Supposedly.
So bro, you're that aloof that you're not going to buy a grocery bag? What? Obviously, you're at like Whole Foods or something. Did you just walk in there oblivious? Because you weren't at like Hy-Vee, you know? So I just think that this is going to be a huge deal, how it's handled. It's not only that, though. This deal, this situation affects Leavitt. It potentially could affect Dylan. It could affect all the other quarterbacks
mm-hmm.
or the ones that are going to be added to depth rules. But the big names out there, hey. We passed the fun. Mm-hmm. We got to get down. Like, you got to be on your agent. Okay, what are we doing? What's the deal? Because you can sit back and be ghost if I already have my stuff signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm just waiting to push send on the tweet or whatever.
Yeah.
But if I'm Sam Leavitt, I'm getting off that plane. Look, man, I'm tired of going to these dinners. I'm tired, you know. Somehow you negotiated your way out of like with LSU, because I think if I'm Sam Leavitt, I'm not going anywhere without a contract. Like, I'm not getting on a plane without like my agent knowing, okay, this is the contract that they're offering you. You just mm-hmm. got to go see if you like the coach, the players, and the situation.
Yeah.
You should know within an hour. Mm-hmm. Are you really going down there worrying about the city? Bro, this is your last year in college. And you're in college.
And got your pad picked out for you.
And plus, you don't even go to class anymore. You probably do it all online. So you're just going to practice online. So if you're worried about, like, the city and all that.
Cultural fit, whatever.
That means you just like to get recruited. And now you're here, you know, now you're in Tennessee and stuff like that. Maybe he, you know, trying to get more money out of LSU. And LSU, I mean, if you didn't know who you're dealing with, you think this is Lane Kiffin's first rodeo?
No.
He had Austin Simmons and go get us a two-time, two back-to-back national championship quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
is potential going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL.
They would say three-time national champion quarterback.
No, they ain't winning. They ain't winning tomorrow night. Chuck said they don't got a chance.
Well, Chuck Foreman said it. That's good enough for me.
You've been right already.
He has. They came out a little more tongue-in-cheek than I meant it to. Shout out Chuck Foreman. Vote him NFL Hall of Fame as always. We will go to break. Got some text from our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line to get to. We'll answer your questions and more as we continue Old School. Hour one brought to you, of course, by the great folks at Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska. They offer free estimates, full window replacements, all vinyl triple paint windows, and lifetime warranties on everything they do while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give them a call today for more information. You can do so at 402-430-3852, or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. He's Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. This is Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, we're back. This is Old School, hour one of the show, brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. We're headed to our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line here. Gorilla Bear says, guys, are coaches required to honor their contracts, or could whatever team wants to mind Williams Jr. buy him out from Washington? Jay, that's, I think, is kind of what you're alluding to with the transfer fee, right? Give Washington some money in exchange for the player. But I think at this point, money is small solace to Washington. They would rather have the player than the money. Yeah. You know, maybe the money can help them go get another player, but they're happy with the honorable mention all Big Ten quarterback they had, who balled out this year and seems to continue to ascend at this point. So, okay, yeah, money, great. You're wiping your tears with, you know, Benjamins and whatnot. But if I'm Washington, I'd rather have the player than the money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but what player are you getting?
And that.
Because there will be animosity that from him that essentially you're holding him back from $2 million. So I don't know. It's interesting to see how they're going to do it. Do you really want a player that didn't want to be there? Because it's one thing to go in the portal to get the team's attention because you know you've earned, or you know the market has let you know that you deserve a pay raise. Keona Davis from last year, Emmett or whatever, right?
Yeah.
With every intention that if Nebraska, or in this case Nebraska, or in this case Washington, but in last year's Nebraska would, you know, come to the table. You already had your stuff done. Mm-hmm. It isn't Washington's fault that you signed the contract and the market went up because of,
well, out of nowhere,
of the dominoes. Of, yeah. And it really started with your boy Minshew. That's really what jacked it up. So sure. I always blame a guy from Notre Dame. Always being selfish. But so I think that's where you have to really weigh it. And then is he the same person that you signed? And he's not the same guy anymore.
No.
You know, and sure, in the locker room, since you're saying it's a pro, you understand you got to do what you got to do for business. And look, if you could get $2 million, considering that he's what, Damon Williams is what, maybe 6'1", and you're trying to go to the league, and you know that's going to be your biggest deterrent, so then you can get $2 million in college. Yeah, I would fault you for not trying to go get it, but I think Washington has to weigh, who do you have on your roster behind him? Who could you possibly get in the portal? You know, and you might have to get somebody else from another team. You have to play the same game.
Does Jed want to play that game? Or at some point, will his back be against the wall enough that whether he wants to play or not, he has to?
I don't think he wants to, but I think he can. I mean, you could think he can go pluck the kid from Arizona. And they made that's how Jed got to Washington.
That's how Jed got to Washington.
Yeah, because he was doing some work. You know, you can maybe try that route, but if you feel comfortable with what you have, you know, in the cupboard, then you just kind of just roll with that. So, I don't know, man. It, for me, sometimes you want to teach him a lesson, or teach the system a lesson, but I don't think it's at the right, this is the point, because it's not going to stop anybody, because there's nobody that you're reporting to or have the support to do so. You're just kind of fighting your own fight,
yeah,
against the rest of the football program.
Well, yeah, you're trying to scoop some water back into the ocean.
Yeah.
not going to work.
Yeah, and it's salt water too, so you're going to be you're going to get dry. I don't think it's going
to
work.
Cubsker says, what about a guy like Emmett Johnson? He entered the portal or is rumored to be entering the portal, got his raise, came back to Nebraska and balled out. You can't expect that to happen from everyone. How would you compare the Demond Williams situation to Emmett Johnson, Jay?
It's totally different because Emmett didn't have a contract, at least under my knowledge, and he was going in there and seeing what his market value is. I think he was getting some bad advice. He's lucky enough that he listened to cooler heads and he came back because he almost was going somewhere to be a backup. So I think it's totally different because he was probably trying to get their attention. Dowdell left. The changing of offensive scheme, it fit Emmett. He had went on that 3-game run showing you he could do it. He wanted to be respected or whatever in that running back room. Nebraska made it happen. It was a good investment on both ends. Emmett lived up and probably exceeded to what he got paid, and Nebraska stepped up and paid him what he could, you know, negotiate for at that point in time with his little bit of experience.
1809, question, are you too happy with the status quo of free agency for every player every year? Is this status quo good for college football?
I think once you go somewhere, I think you have to be there for 2 years. Now, it's hard because you get the Justin Fields situation with the baseball player. You get the family stuff with the Walker that was at UNC or North Carolina. You have all those, but I think that if you can, I mean.
But pros have personal stuff come up too.
That's true. That is true.
You know, Russell Westbrook in Utah is the one that comes to mind, right? Yeah. You know, you take your family leave, you know, your bereavement leave for a family member.
Yeah, and it happens to the pros too. Issues with the old Clippers, you know, owner, and you get all types of stuff. So I don't necessarily like all the movement after a year. I understand it. Look, these kids are getting way overpaid right now. There's no doubt about it. I'm not hating, but you know, I always wanted everybody to get paid, but this is, it's
paid, not his aid.
Yeah. This is way too much. So you can't fault them. They got to go get it when they can. Cause be honest with you, majority of them, you guys want some facts here.
WTF 93.7 take
it three. no. Yeah.
Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. I hear you. The 1% of the 1% is going to the NFL. The 1% of those other 1% generally stick. That's not changing. So that's why I understand it. But then also look at it like this. I'd be willing to bet 80% of the portal is made up of kids that have been forced to go in the portal. So we're focusing on the 20%, and it's actually the 2% that's getting paid, like real pay.
Yeah.
Because you got a great prospect, right? Like here, Willis McGahee's still in the portal. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you got a guy like Rod Gainey Jr. that played at Charlotte that he's going to LSU, 6'1", 175. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't add up to what your potential is and where you're at. So, I don't know. I think it's either going to have to just blow up or it's just going to be like this all the time. I think is eventually you're going to be able to transfer in the middle of the year. Trade players.
Yeah. Which seems crazy, but also seems like the next logical step. I'm not.
Or at least play in a bowl game.
Yeah.
In another team.
Right. I think it's frustrating for a lot of fans because, they're just not used to it in college. And there aren't the same rules hard rules that are written down or even just the soft like norms. Here's how you conduct yourself as a professional in these settings in college. That's who knows if that's ever going to make it. But 1 year deals, Jay, and the pros are much different than 1 year deals in college, right? It's everyone in college signing these 1 year deals where what's the mark of a very good player when they hit free agency, the number of years they get or the higher price tag. Yeah. Right now, it's everything is a 1 year deal in college. At least it seems that way. When in pro sports, whether it's football, basketball, or baseball, primarily, 1 year deals aren't for superstars.
No,
1 year deals aren't for everyone in the game. 1 year deals are for people who are coming off a down year and need to recoup some value. 1 year deals are for people that aren't getting the long term deals they think they deserve, so they think they can prove themselves. 1 year deals are for guys at the very start or very end of their career, just hanging on, just trying to play their way onto a roster until their next big deal. 1 year deals aren't for, a top 15 quarterback in the sport like Demond Williams, right? In the NFL, he's getting the Sam Darnold deal, probably, or the equivalent of it in college. But we don't see player options. I mean, we don't see team options in college like we do. We don't see vesting options in college like we do in the pros. There's no reason that they can't adopt a similar format, except that they don't have the infrastructure in place.
Yeah, they don't have the players aren't unionized, and there's not structure between the leagues and obviously the whole 136. Yeah. And so that's where you're at. And so it's either going to just continue to get worse, people are going to be upset, or you're just going to have to adapt and find a way to kind of deal with the changing of the ground that you're standing on as far as football goes, you know, for the rest of your tenure as a GM, assistant GM, head coach and all that, and go from there. It is what it is right now. I mean, it's ruining the game. But I think it, you know, it's like a lot of things. There's this very small percentage of guys that are getting a ton of money. There's a lot of guys that are forced into the vortex, and everybody's chasing the 2%. When you're the 98%, you really need to start operating like that and actually be okay with maybe getting better.
But these schools and these players aren't honest with themselves about where they're at.
No. And one, when the recruiting now is probably less honorable than it's ever been.
Which is saying something.
And what I mean, and this is not every school, but majority of the school, the vast majority are lying to every single player that they're recruiting. And only ones they can't are the ones that are the 2%, the four and five-star recruits, the big transfer portal guys. Those are guys you're dealing in a difference. So the majority of the team is just kind of just floating. And then with the players, they're the same way. They have no loyalty to anybody. So they're going to do what they needed to do with it. They'll chase 15 grand and move halfway across or all the way across the country and not realize that you got to pay taxes. And really it was, now you're not even saving any gas money because you're probably in a bigger city if you go to LA. So I think it's both ways. I think the players have learned from the coaches for years. They've heard about it. They'd be dumb not to take advantage of it. I mean, it's no different than I talk about with those guys that went and played over and like live golf. If I was at the end of my career and you're going to pay me like four times than actually I'm worth and I play and I practice and play less, or me being here and knowing the background of the situation here, and that we won two national championships and started on 95, the greatest team of all time. And somebody said, you know, we're going to pay you 3X. Holler at a player when you see me in the street. I probably would have left the Fiesta Bowl. I was like, I'm only way I'm coming, you got five in first class, because I ain't never been first class.
If you had left the Fiesta Bowl, Farley wouldn't have stolen your touchdown.
That next year, yeah, you're right. I would have been up there stealing somebody else's touchdown. But I mean, it would have been hard for me, but that's just part of where it's at. They would have been trying to pluck our roster, but there's no regulation. So I don't even know how you even go into the portal now with 7,000-8,000 people in there and know who's good.
How could you?
I mean, because you got Damian Wilson the second. I remember watching him against Auburn as the rush, or as one of the edge guys from Missouri, and he's in the portal.
Yeah. I don't know.
All 1 year deals aren't. I've been on 1 year deals, and it's like, all right, you're tenured. You know, when you start getting 1 year deals, when you get in year 7, 8, 9, like I was, you know, you're just trying to get on the team. And then once you're trying to turn that 1 year deal into a 2 year deal or the option, your best players are getting one. I mean, they might sign 3 years, it's 1 year.
There's really one exception that comes to mind that's public, and that's Bryce Underwood.
Yes, because he had a four year
deal with Michigan. It's 4 and 20.
4 years, 20 million?
Oh, it was 10. That's right. Because it was 2.5 a year. My bad. Yeah. So 4 years, $10 million. You would think a guy like Bryce Underwood, if he hits the open market every year, he'd probably make, what, $3 million a year at least? He could get a little bit more. But, Jay, that's the other part that I don't think enough college kids realize, or they're allowed to get away with, is that part of the deal is it's a trade-off. You can do this one-year thing, but then you're risking the instability of not knowing, of not being able to get comfortable in a place, whether it's your decision or someone else's. I think about in my beloved Kansas City Royals example, and they're not the only ones, Michael Garcia, right? Ozzy Albies from the Braves. What do we hear about, Jay? You know, these players that come from, you know, Latin American countries are more willing to sign sooner for more years for less money because it means more. Because, yeah, you know, they can set up their family, you know, financially. Whereas take Bobby Witt, for example, right? Yeah, he signed the extension. He's getting plenty of money, but he's got opt-outs. He had to raise the number of years and the number of money because guess what? The money wasn't as much an object to him. And he's just the one that, that comes to mind. But there are always trade-offs, right? In 99% of contracts, you, for the normal, you know, rank and file, you either, you know, even rank and file all-stars or the equivalent thereof, you either get the number of years. So in college, let's say a 3 to 4 year deal for, you know, a good chunk of money, but maybe a lower average annual value, or you can take your shot with 3 or 4 1 year deals, but there are risks and trade-offs both ways. The point is that I think we've just forgotten the fact that decisions have consequences. You got to follow through, and that it's hard to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah. But the problem is, are these Generation Z or X?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Whatever generation they are, they don't fear consequences. They don't respect
because they're authority. Not held accountable.
Right. So why would they? Why would they not? Why would they not? Or why would they even think that, hey, you know what? The greatest dynasty in NFL football history is probably built on job security, accountability, obligation, togetherness, teamwork, and all of them have been successful. And you got a ton of Hall of Famers coming off of that New England Patriots run.
Yeah.
Tom Brady took less money, but took longer years. Guys would take a little bit less money, but knowing that they would make the money longer.
And some of that too, Jay, is these guys think they're invincible. I mean, you find in the NFL, you know what security means, right? To get a long-term deal like that, it's hard to do. But to know you're set up for 4 or 5 years, that's hard to come by in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's one of the things that you constantly fight for. And you want the sign-up bonus and you want the years and the guarantees. We see it. A lot of these players don't have to deal with that because they're coming in and they're just hired mercenaries. I'm going to go here for a year. Okay, I'm going to ball out. Then I'm going to jump back in the portal if it needs be. Or if not, I know that they'll sign me back. And it's all position related because when you look at like the position of receiver, right?
Yeah.
There hasn't been a lot of movement of the top guys yet.
No.
And so you have to be careful what you know, when you jump in the portal. If you jump in early, it might be appealing, but it can be very, very sticky if you're not able to jump back out to where you were and then you're stuck in there and it could be longer than you actually want it.
Eric, can I go in the portal? Eric, you're a knucklehead. For every day we want you in the portal, we appreciate you hanging out on our Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line. 6169 at 2280. We see your texts. Well, that's how we'll wrap up hour one of Old School, presented by Heartland of Nebraska Windows.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're wrapping up hour one of Old School, brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Appreciate them for everything they do making the show possible. You can check them out online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com or call for more information, 402-430-3852. Back to our Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line. Jay, let's get to this from 6169. What would you think about the transfer portal being more of a trade portal where schools could make trade proposals to other schools so they get the player and potentially also NIL value trade?
Yeah, I mean, that's almost what you had with Kentucky and Arizona State.
UCLA and Tennessee.
Yeah, I can see it happening. And like I said, I think eventually you're going to see some in-season movement, like during bye weeks or something. I don't know. I just think it's a free-for-all right now. And every rule that they've ever had, there's a way to kind of find a loophole or just break the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the trade thing. Majority of people won't like it because then you're like, okay, they're not assets yet. They're just young men just getting grossly overpaid. Young men and young women getting grossly overpaid to play sports that generally everybody had to play for free. I could see it being an option, but I think it's more or less just, I think everybody's going to know where they're at. So I think it can be behind the scenes trading.
I think so. I think there's two other aspects to this. Number one is it would take schools having similar power structures or at least knowing who's in, you know, final control of the rosters. It's easy in pro sports because you know who the general managers are, right? They're the ones that are putting together the frameworks of these deals. They'll talk to their coaches. They'll talk to ownership, make sure everyone signs off on it. But you have the same, what, like two or three positions in each organization primarily constructing these deals. Right. At some places, maybe it's the head coach if Lane wants to be involved. In some cases, maybe it's the general manager if Nebraska wants to give that to Pat Stewart, for example. And what does general manager even mean in college? It's just so different there. And number two, Jay, is when it comes to the roster limits that seem to be coming, right, and the salary cap, well, let's take a guy like Brennan Sorsby at Texas Tech. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports got a copy of his contract, and Brennan Sorsby wasn't going to be making anything really from revenue sharing. It was all going to be NIL. Okay, so if you trade him, in this example, to another school, well, what if they don't have the $3.5 million in NIL? What if they have to pay him from rev share? How does that count against the salary cap? What does that do for other people? Or, you know, you have to make the matching salary, right? In a lot of cases, especially in the salary cap sports in the NBA and the NFL, it's got to be in the ballpark, right? And there are penalties for going over. Yeah, I get guys have endorsements in the pros as well, but those carry over because they're more national in a lot of cases. But if Sorsby's getting paid, you know, $3.5 million of NIL that's outside the rev share realm, he's not going to go play for free at the school that he's traded to. And if they don't have the $3.5 million anywhere except rev share, how does that affect other people? Are you SOL? You can't make the trade, but who's going to tell you can't make the trade?
You SOL then. Or you're just going to have to eat that you know, he's going to, or in this case, it's 25% of your rev share.
Yeah.
If you want him that bad. Or you find a way, say Texas Tech and say Sorsby had more years, really want to say he was a bad teammate and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, then maybe Texas Tech would eat some of that through their NIL. So to make sure you could find a trade partner, it's kind of like, you know, how they trade, you know, picks and cash and all that stuff for dead money and NBA and all that. You could do something like that, but they can't get to anything that you're talking about or anybody would think of, Austin, until they get their ducks in a row and how they're going to make decisions.
Yeah.
Like, we can have all the suggestions. We could give you a model of how it could, you know, how NIL and the transfer portal and salary cap, soft salary cap and trading and all that could work. We'd be better off talking to the window.
Straight up.
Because you don't know.
Provided by Heartland of Nebraska Windows, of course.
Yeah. Thank you, Heartland. They were really good when they came in. So, so there's no way out of it until they find. And I don't know if anybody wants to really step up and be on a committee like that.
Oh, at this point?
As much
a bunch of the people you'd recommend were guys that benefited from the system being the way it was.
Yeah, but they know the system better in any way it was, any better than anybody now. But I think right now they don't want to be involved in it because it's like, what's the benefit of it versus getting, it's an honor to be an athletic director, to be on the college football playoffs committee. This isn't an honor. This is like, oh, there's 50 things or 44 things that they've done absolutely wrong. Here, this is a great honor for you to fix all the stupid stuff we've done as the NCAA the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Shoot, you get to untangle the entire web of problems over the last 150 years.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Who wants to sign up for that?
This is the way you want
to be. Come be first.
Right when you turn 70.
right.
Yeah. So forget all the tea times and fishing. You're just going to be, and then after you fix that, then you got to fix the ones that are in present day because they've all kind of
unintended consequences.
Made moves based on the stuff that you fixed.
Yeah.
So you fixed 25%. They're adding 25% more on the back end. So it's a never ending race that you're not going to win.
Chasing the ghost.
Yeah.
You won't be able to catch up. I don't know how much I would even trust a guy like Nick Saban to act in the best interest of everyone. I think he's got too many coaching buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And he's got obligations. I think he would. I think he's understanding. I think he would. Now the problem is who else?
Right. Brad from Baldwin. Why can't we have college football back to the way it was before NIL? Better times. Better in some ways, absolutely, but then we're all back to complaining about SEC dominance when they're paying guys under the table, paying more and bigger. So it's you know, like you would say, Jay, what kind of diarrhea do you want in college football? But we love the sport. We'll continue to talk about it. Plenty more coming up at 5. We'll take a short break. We'll talk John Harbaugh's firing by the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald with us on the show coming up at 4:30 as well. He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. This is Old School.